Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's a delight to have you meet with us by way of this radio broadcast today. As we face the issues, I pray that you are challenged each day as you tune in, as we face issues that normally are not being faced by the Christian community and especially by the political world around us. As we face the issues, let me remind us that we do so not based on my thoughts or philosophies or ideological bent, but based on the Word of God. God's Word is truth, and when we look at the Word of God, I encourage you to seek out through the Word answers to issues in life. As we face the issues, we do so based on the truth of the Word of God. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my Word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, as we look at life, as we face life and all of the issues therein, may I remind you the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God is the source book for our lives. It should be the light unto our path and the lamp unto our feet as we follow the Word of God through life. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, you can join in the dialogue and discussion just at any point in time you want to jump in. You can do so by dialing 831-0917, 831-0917. Get your telephone call straight through to the radio studios and right to our microphones that we can have dialogue and discussion, entertaining your questions and your comments. Keep in mind, Let's Face the Issues is a broadcast that's designed around you, our listeners. It's a Q&A program. I love the commentary. I love to have the dialogue. But it's also interesting and exciting when you jump into the dialogue and discussion. Some people refer to it as adding your 2 cents worth. Well, that's wonderful. Be delighted to have you to do so. That's 831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today an issue that I think should sadden the hearts of every Christian, should challenge the lives of every conservative, should cause every American to wake up and to smell the coffee as to what's taking place. I'm calling this broadcast today, Easter Massacre, the Rise of Terrorism. Easter Massacre, the Rise of Terrorism. Ladies and gentlemen, in an interview today, I watched it online. It was a Fox News interview. A gentleman named Don Bramer, B-R-A-M-E-R. He's a naval intelligence officer, and he said, and may I quote, "We've seen a 17% increase in church and Christians being attacked since 2017. He continues by saying, and I quote, "We will continue seeing these attacks more and more in the future until we do something about it." Let me read you his quotes again. He said, and I quote, "We've seen a 17% increase in church and Christians being attacked since 2017. He continued his dialogue and discussion on Fox News. "We will continue seeing these attacks more and more in the future until we do something about it," end quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that begs to have an answer. What are we going to do? How are we going to respond? What shall we do? How shall we then live? Ladies and gentlemen, he was speaking in reference to the Islamic jihadist bombings in Sri Lanka over the Easter weekend. This interview with Don Bramer, while he said, quote, he said also, "Our faith is being tested. Our faith is being tested." Ladies and gentlemen, let me just give you, in case you've not been keeping up with the news, let me tie up some loose ends for us as you're listening today. You don't know if you've heard the news, paid any attention to it. Some do and some do not. Some so involved in their work schedule that they fail to recognize what's happening, and especially that which is taking place that affects the church and Christians. Here's an article that says, Sri Lanka on the edge after local Islamic terrorist group blamed for the Easter Sunday attack. The article says the country's health minister said the attacks, which killed at least 209 and injured more than 500, were carried out by several suicide bombers from a local militant group named National Jihadist. Experts cited the New York Times said the group promotes an Islamic terrorist ideology, end quote. Further, the article says these attacks appear quite different and look as if they came right out of the ISIS playbook, Al-Qaeda, global militant jihadist playbook, he said. As these are attacks fomenting religious hatred by attacking multiple churches on a high religious holiday. Here's another article, ladies and gentlemen, very similar. It says, hundreds killed in explosion on churches and hotels in Sri Lanka. Here's another article that says, Sri Lanka authorities warned of Easter church bombings, weeks before Sunday's massacre, according to the officials. This article says, weeks before, coordinated bombings ripped through churches and luxury hotels, killing nearly 300 people on Easter Sunday. Authorities in Sri Lanka received warnings that a domestic radical Islamic group would attack the nation on the Christians' holy day, end quote. Despite multiple warnings from international intelligence agencies, however, Sri Lanka's security officials reportedly failed to heed the alerts and apparently took no action to protect against potential attacks. Authorities were first alerted about the threat on April the 4th. Now, listen, ladies and gentlemen, let's just put a pause on this article. Why do you think the authorities had heard and knew the reports and the potential danger and did not warn the public, did not warn the churches, did not say squeak? Could it be that those authorities are Islamic jihadists themselves and did not want to pass that information on? That's just my question. I don't know. The article does not say that. The article further says at least 290 people, including 39 foreigners, were killed and more than 500 people were injured. The government on Monday said the attacks were likely perpetrated by a little-known radical Islamic organization. And ladies and gentlemen, for those of you out there with bleeding hearts that say that Islam is a peaceful religion, you've not read the Quran. You have no earthly idea what you're saying when out of a bleeding heart, mamsy-pamsy, coddly attitude that you say, well, Islam is peaceful. I had a castigating email recently from an individual because of an article that was sent out on our newsletter from our university talking about the dangers of Islam and what was taking place, and even gave cites, quotes directly from the Quran. And he said that that was wicked and that was hatred and the Christians ought not to say anything like that. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a problem. And what I want us to understand, this person that was being interviewed this morning says, until we do something about it, that begs to be challenged. What are we going to do? What are we doing as Christians, as conservatives, as citizens, as moral, ethical Americans, as political leaders? What are we doing? The question is, ladies and gentlemen, how should we then live? What should we do? Ladies and gentlemen, this is an out-and-out total war against the Christians and the churches, and it's carried out by the jihadists against Christianity and against Judaism around the world and in America. This is truly war on Christianity today and any religion that is non-Islamic. In fact, you stated the Quran, it very clearly says, slay them, kill them, wherever you find them. And it is talking about them, they, speaking of the non-Islamics, and in particular, Christians and Jews. Ladies and gentlemen, the fact that churches and synagogues are being burned is evident globally of this jihadist war against Christianity. The Cathedral of Notre Dame was just a few days ago was one that brought international attention to it. But I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that was not the first. Listen, here's an article that says poll indicates discrimination against Christians and Jews surging. Discrimination against Christians and Jews has surged in the United States in the last several years, even as reported attacks against others have diminished. The article further says the report also said 50% of Americans believe evangelical Christians face some discrimination, up 42% just a few years ago. The percentage who believe Christians face a lot of discrimination has gone up from 15 to 18%. Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand there's a major, major, major catastrophic attack that's on the horizon for America, in my most humble opinion. We've had the little bitty nibbling around the edges since 9/11. We've had the flurry here and there, but on an international plane in all of Europe, Germany and France and other parts of Europe, we've been watching a major, major, major increase and onslaught of the open, in-your-face war against Christianity. We're talking about the Easter massacre that took place in Sri Lanka. But broadening beyond that Easter massacre in Sri Lanka, where churches and Christians were absolutely targeted, we find a rise of terrorism on a global basis. Now, what would you think? What would you think should be the response to what took place in Sri Lanka? Well, three of the most prominent liberal heads in America, political leaders, if you will, political wannabes, Hillary Clinton, Barack Hussein Obama, Bernie Sanders, all were questioned about what did they say, what would their comments be about the Sri Lanka attack. Here's the headline. Obama, Hillary, and Bernie all refused to use the words Christian or churches in the Sri Lanka statements after Islamic Easter terrorist attack that killed 290 people. Democratic politicians in America go out of their way, this article says, to avoid saying the words Christian and churches in any of their statements. The body of the article says this, and I'll just give you a brief snippet, if you will. Yesterday on Easter Sunday morning, Islamic terrorists brutally slaughtered 290 people, with 500 more wounded, with the majority of these people being Christians who were in churches worshiping Jesus Christ. The article says police said they discovered 87 detonators apparently abandoned at a private bus stand in the capital. The government has ordered round-the-clock security on all churches. Listen, around-the-clock security on all churches, end quote. Further, the article says, and this is what I want you to hear and understand, this is the mamsy-pamsy, mealy-mouth answers from the political left, the socialist Democrats. The three big, this article says, the big three Democrats, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Bernie Sanders, all made statements. And guess what? Not a single one of them acknowledged that Christians and churches were targeted on Sunday morning. Let this thought sink in a minute or two. Here's a statement. Barack Obama said this. The attacks on tourists and Easter worshippers in Sri Lanka are an attack on humanity. On a day devoted to love, redemption, and renewal, we pray for the victims and stand with the people of Sri Lanka, end quote. Bernie Sanders said this. Our hearts go out to the victims and families of those horrific attacks in Sri Lanka. No person should have to fear for their life in the place of worship. We must work to bring this world together around a common humanity, end quote. Hillary Clinton said this, on this holy weekend for many faiths, holy weekend for many faiths, what does that mean? It's the Christian faith that celebrates Easter. But on this holy weekend for many faiths, we must stand united against hatred and violence. I'm praying for everyone affected by this today's horrific attacks on Easter worshipers and travelers in Sri Lanka, end quote. This particular writer in this article that I'm picking up a blurb or two from says, so what type message is this sending to people who are Christians? I'll tell you what the message says. You don't matter. You don't count. The entire liberal left were beside themselves after 49 Muslims were killed in New Zealand on an attack in March. They endlessly went on about people being targeted for their religious faith, but slaughter hundreds of Christians on Easter Sunday morning and wound hundreds more. And that rates nothing more than a template tweet sent out by the social media and the intern staff, end quote. The liberal left in America is cold-hearted bunch of professional killers as you'll ever meet. They demand jail time for people who mistreat pets and other animals while insisting that babies born alive after a failed abortion attempt should receive no life-saving care or help at all. Ladies and gentlemen, that's kind of America that we're in. That's the problem that I'm so burdened by and so in a quandary as to what are we going to do? How should we then live? What ought we to do? Just as this person that was interviewed on Fox News, Don Bramer, says, this is going to continue in the future until we do something about it. Going back to the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that the thing that came to the forefront just a few days ago with the Cathedral of Notre Dame, when it was burned to the ground, some say that it can be rehabbed, it may be, but the problem was that in the past two years, prior to that, 2,000, hear me, 2,000 churches in France had been burned, demolished, destroyed, vandalized, and burglarized, 2,000 desecrated and burned, and yet nothing has been said. It's the silence of the news. Here's an article that says, the code of silence obscures surge of churches being attacked. Nearly 2,000 Christian houses of worship in France have been desecrated in the past 2 years, according to the police in Germany. There were four such instances just in March. Some French politicians have attributed the church desecrations, averaging more than two a day. Listen, they said they're calling it militant secularism, end quote. They're not calling it jihadist. They're not calling it Islamic. And it's simply because in France, we have a major invasion of Islamic jihadists that are in control of the political and the police machine in France. Ladies and gentlemen, this article further says authorities and media obfuscate the identity of the vandals. In those rare instances where Muslims, and as migrant Muslims, identify are the destroyers that's leaked out, and the desecrators are then presented as suffering from some mental health issue. Listen, rather than saying it's a hate crime, rather than saying it is a perpetrating crime against a church, it is the attempt by the jihadists to destroy the Christian faith. They say, the authorities simply say that these jihadists in France that they have some mental health issue. Yes, they do. It's called a heart problem. Yes, they do. It's called the hardness of the heart. Yes, they do. It's called a sin problem. Yes, they really have a heart problem. But ladies and gentlemen, you can have a person in America that has a heart problem. He goes out and robs a bank. And because he robbed the bank, they do not say he had some kind of mental health problem. It was simply because he robbed the bank. He's prosecuted on that basis. It's not being done globally, ladies and gentlemen. This article further says, the title of the article, Code of Silence Obscures Surge of Church Attacks in France. This article says, hardly anyone writes and speaks about the increasing attacks on Christian symbols. There's an eloquent silence both in France and in Germany about the scandal of the desecration of the origin of the perpetrators. Authorities avoid at all costs blaming Islamic migrants. The article then continues, says, it is not the perpetrators who are in danger of being ostracized, but those who dare to associate the desecration of Christian symbols with immigrant Islamic imports. They are accused of hatred and hate speech and racism. And ladies and gentlemen, the reason I am so emphasizing this today is not only because this has just taken place in Sri Lanka and it was on Easter, but it's because we're finding the rise of this attitude in America today. You say something about Islamics and you're called Islamophobic. You say something about the LGBT sodomite movement and you call you're a person that is spewing hate and you call a phobic of some type. You have some phobia. It's not a matter that these folks are perpetrating crimes against the Christians and against their faith and persecuting and prosecuting them because of their stand for Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article. It's not just taking place in France. It's not just taking place in Germany. It's not just a matter that you have dozens of churches. In fact, in the France situation, 2,000 in the past 2 years, just in the past 30 days, over a dozen that had taken, about two dozen had been burned. Yet silence in the media. Why? Because the destruction is by Islamic jihadists. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not just in France. It's not just in Germany. It's not just in Sri Lanka. It's not just in other far-reaching parts of the world that are unknown. Here's an article that says 900 churches in Nigeria burned by Boko Haram. Listen, have you heard that on the news? Have you heard Bernie Sanders or any one of the political wannabes, some almost 20 now, of the socialist Democrats that are wanting to be president? heard them say anything about this horrific crime that's being perpetrated around the globe by the Islamic jihadists? You haven't. This article says at least 900 Christian churches have been destroyed at the hands of Boko Haram in northern Nigeria as part of the Islamic radical group's campaign to drive out all Christians from that country. End quote. They further say the carnage being carried out against Christians is not just accidental. The article says Boko Haram's war on followers of Christ started back in 2009, and it continues in full force even today. The article continues, some prominent Christian leaders, such as CAN chairman Bishop Diamond, the head, he's the bishop, have suggested that if there is no one to protect, there's no one to protect Christians and their churches, then they must buy a sword and start protecting themselves. You hear me? The bishop in Nigeria said that there's no one, the police department, the police force, the military is not protecting the churches and not protecting the Christians. He says, if there's no one to protect Christians and their churches, they must buy a sword and start protecting themselves. And ladies and gentlemen, I've said that for years and years and years in America. There needs to be the enactment of the program in all churches and religious institutions and synagogues. There must be a recognition that you need, if you dial 911, sometimes as much as 4 minutes, sometimes as much as 10 minutes before someone arrives, everyone in there can be slaughtered, mutilated, killed, destroyed in that period of time. There's a need for churches to recognize the need to protect themselves. The Second Amendment right. I don't care what a state or a nation or somebody wants to say. We have that right and that responsibility before God to protect the flock, to protect those that are worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says Chinese police beat 60 Christians and close the churches and then bury their Bibles. Ladies and gentlemen, it's horrific when you understand what's taking place on a global basis, and the curtain is closing. The time is short. The scripture is true. The scripture says that know this also, in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing that come to the forefront today. This is Dr. Youngblood. You're listening to Let's Face the Issues. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. Join in the dialogue and discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, in China, there's a major persecution and purging of the Christians and the churches in the nation of China. It's now raging, and yet there's a total silence from the fake news. This article says Chinese police beat 60 Christians and closed churches and then buried their Bibles. More than 100 Chinese police officers and SWAT team members closed a newly constructed church and beat dozens of Christians who were guarding it and then buried their Bibles and hymn books before leaving. The incident in Henan, Chinese third largest province, took place in January and was only reported April the 10th. Chinese officials also seized the church's cash and other possessions. Quote, as soon as they entered the church, they smashed the donation box and pocketed the money, which totaled thousands of lin, that is hundreds and hundreds of American dollars. They also questioned us about where all our church's money was kept. The article goes further, says the congregation, the True Jesus Church, had opened a newly built building in July of 2018, costing around $300,000, but the Chinese accused the congregation of being in contact with foreign governments. The Chinese plan of converting the building now to a nursing home. The article further says, when 60 or so church members barricaded the entrances with benches, more police officers were called to the scene and stormed into the church. They beat the believers, leaving about 15 Christians on the floor moaning in pain. One woman, who's in her 70s, was beaten near to death. Ladies and gentlemen, the silence is deafening in America. The news media is not talking about it. The fake news is not saying anything about it because the source of it is coming from Christian persecution. And you might say, well, that's around the globe. That's other parts of the nation. That's in the other parts of the world. It doesn't affect me. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to just read you a brief note in relationship to what is taking place and what is being said. Here's a note. Here's a brief note from an individual that's involved with foreign and global missions. I'm not talking about just talking about it. I'm talking about those that are, this is a person that's involved, intimately involved. And this is what he says. He says, sadly, this is just the tip of the iceberg. Every week I'm working with the teams related to the issues in Asia. Our brothers and sisters in Christ were in a darkened situation. However, opposition and persecution is growing daily in intensity. Additionally, these nation states are broadening their reach of their persecution in other countries and through active cyber warfare. My request is to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ in Asia that have testified. I personally heard their testimonies that testified that they believe their efforts in the Lord keep Satan's forces distracted so that we can more effectively spread the light in more lands. The question, are we effectively using this opportunity that is afforded us? Ladies and gentlemen, the doors are closing globally to the Christians, the Christian churches, and the witness for Jesus Christ. We're not allowed, this article says, we're not allowed to print anything about Jesus, a Chinese print shop tells of the churches. And we'll pick up on that in a moment. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, good day, Dr. Youngblood. That person that was being interviewed, that gentleman, he said, until we do something, things are going to get worse until. Well, I think we have actually passed that. We have been careless. We have been playing with evil. And we, things that we have gone very, very far. In other words, they are working towards one world religion. And they said it long time. The liberals said that the worst enemies of America and possibly the world is the Bible-believing Christians, because we are intolerant and we are this. So we know it's going to come down heavy on Christians especially. We have been careless. Dr. Youngblood, when you think that a lot of these people like Bernie Sanders and Obama, Hillary, they are active church members. The church has been careless. And all of these people, like the young 29-year-old bartender, whatever she her name, they are church members, all of them. So the church has compromised its position. When we should stand up, we allow politics, you wouldn't believe how many people, intelligent professionals right here in America now are in total darkness to what is going on, because it's a crime to listen, to turn on the radio to Fox. It's a crime. This has been established personally. It's a crime to turn your radio on to Fox News. CNN and all the others, quite all right, but Fox is a crime. This is general all over. So a lot of people are in total, church members especially, church are in total darkness about what is going on.
We are really
in serious trouble.
Yes, you're exactly right. One of the things we need to do is look up, lift up our heads. The scripture says, Luke 21:28, for our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you so much for your call and your input. Ladies and gentlemen, this article says, we're not allowed to print anything about Jesus, according to the Chinese print shop. Christians in China's Henan province, hoping to celebrate the new year with the Christ-centered calendars, learned in recent days that they were prohibited from doing so. The article goes on to talk about governmental officials from the Bureau of Industry and Commerce frequently visit all print shops if they're Christian owners. If they discover that they have printed religious-related items, the government will punish according to the quantity that's printed. If anyone dares to print religious material secretly and is caught in a minor case, they will be fined, their shops will be closed, and in severe cases, they will face prosecution, detained, put in prison, and their businesses sold. Here's another article that says, Chinese city pays citizens $1,500 to be a mini Judas and to turn in Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, this article says the Bureau of Ethics and Religious Affairs would reward and give prizes of 3,000, 5,000, 10,000 yen, that is $450, $750, to Chinese citizens who spot and turn in their neighbors if they are Christians and they're in a church or if they have a Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, you say, well, what's the point in talking about that? That's in China. But ladies and gentlemen, the curtain is closing. The time is coming. That is taking place here in America today. We have Christian businesses, Christian shop owners. The LGBTQ agenda is absolutely persecuting Christians, and it's done through the authority of U.S. laws. Islamic indoctrination in our schools and our textbooks, condemning Christians and Judaism. Christian businesses, bakers and florists are being prosecuted and persecuted. We're witnessing synagogues and churches in America being vandalized and burned. We're watching Chick-fil-A as a Christian business owner where they're persecuted and prosecuted simply because of the faith in Christ as to their ownership of that organization. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to pray and recognize that the hand of God can still be at work if we would wake up and do something in relationship to it. Thank you for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.